He is going to kind of keep himself. And then, assembly member, at 25 minutes past or so, we're just going to kind of stop and give you a chance to have closing arguments kind of thing. Okay. But, yeah, we set up closing and everything. And if you have any questions, this last chance to submit them. So. But yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, assembly member Rod Hanson.
Is that quick question?
Yes, so what we're going to have first is we can get like an introduction.
Okay.
We're going through the box questions that we have over there.
Okay.
We're just going to pick random.
Okay.
See if they're neutral questions. If they are, we'll just try to get through as many as we can until 25 minutes goes or whenever we feel like we're
ready. Okay. Okay.
We'll set up a podium.
We also have a podium.
Taking a few minutes. Do I have to do that?
No, you know.
Thank you. Well, Grove, that's good.
Welcome.
Thank you. Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you for being here, especially in the middle of the holidays. I know you all have lots of things to do during this period of time, whether it's get out your holiday card to do a little holiday shopping or maybe just relax before the holiday rush. So I appreciate it that you would take the time to spend this evening, at least part of it, here, talking about this very important race for the state Senate seat, currently represented by, of course, our Senate pro tem, Daryl Steinberg. You know, for me, I was a teenager in the 1960s. And I see a few people in the room who share that characteristic with me, but I see a whole lot of others for whom what I'm going to talk about for a moment is something that they probably just seen videos of or read or got taught in their history class about. But it was a time of enormous social upheaval and tumult. It was a time of undeniable tragedy, the assassination of President Kennedy, of course, that we marked the 50th anniversary of just a few short weeks ago. The assassinations of Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King. But at the same time, it was an era of hope and expectation of a future that would hold equality and equity, inclusion and opportunity for all. And from that formative period came my decision and my conclusion to pursue a life of public service. So it was in 1977 that my wife and I, Marge, came to Sacramento with the purpose of doing what we could to try to be part of realizing that hope and that expectation that had been so prominent during the course of our teenage years. It's the hope and expectation that led me to be part of a statewide project to help increase access for all to the courts through such things as translating court forms into English, into languages other than English. It was that hope and expectation that led me into the courtroom to stand up and be an advocate for those who otherwise would never have had a chance for justice. It was that hope and expectation that led me into elective office, where I was fortunate enough to serve for almost 17 years as a member of the Sacramento County Board of Supervisors. And over that span of time, with that opportunity, came also the ability to make a difference on those things that matter, to realize that hope and that expectation. That hope of inclusion, that expectation of opportunity, that hope of equity, and that expectation of equality. It's why I was so deeply involved in the transformation of McClellan Air Force Base in the wake of its closure to a business park that my chief of staff once said that my office was all McClellan all the time because so many people, and I know some of you in this room experienced it, were displaced or suffered as a result of that closure decision. Enormous change and disruption in their lives. But we came through that establishing a business center with over 15,000 jobs and over 200 companies and organizations located there. One of the biggest single job centers in this region. It was that hope and that expectation that led me to be part of creating a program called Birth and Beyond, a home visitation program for at-risk families, where with the advent of that program, we were able to reduce the level of child abuse and neglect in those families that were part of the program by more than 90%. It was that hope and expectation that led me to take on the leadership of changing the Grant Union School District, which was in complete disarray, with a campaign that we labeled Education First because we believed that the most important thing was to keep our eye on making sure that our children were getting a quality education. And in the span of two elections, we replaced the entire school board and turned that school district around. It was that hope and that expectation which has led me to be an outspoken advocate for years for affirmative action and for minority and women-owned business enterprises, to campaign against Prop 187, for those of you who remember it, and against Prop 209. And that hope and that expectation that led me to fight for the Equal Rights Amendment in the 1980s and for equal wages for equal work for women when I was a member of the Regional Transit Board of Directors in the 1980s. It's been that hope and that expectation which has continued to motivate me in my service throughout my fortunate opportunity to serve in public office. Throughout my time in the County Board of Supervisors as well as in the state legislature, where I've continued to be the same kind of advocate for equity, equality, inclusion, and opportunity. It's why I authored legislation signed this year by the governor that beginning in July will prohibit state and local governments from asking on an initial job application about criminal history in order to allow offenders to have a chance to get considered for a job. It's why I've been so dedicated over the last 3 years to addressing the issues of school discipline, because we need to attack the school-to-prison pipeline and put an end to it. It's why I've carried legislation signed by the governor to make sure that our children are protected when they're at athletic play from coaches who otherwise would be predators. It's why I will continue to fight to protect our environment for our generations yet to come, because we know that we are only stewards for a short time of this planet and what we hand off to those that come behind us must be at least in as good condition, if not better, than when we found it. It's why I fought to get light rail built in Sacramento and to get it extended to Cosumnes River College and someday to El Grove. It's why for the last decade I have led the effort locally to address climate change, because it is truly an issue where you think globally and act locally. Sacramento County became only the second county in the United States to join the Chicago Climate Exchange, where we committed to reduce our own greenhouse gas emissions in order to help stimulate the effort in our own community to protect our environment and attack the biggest environmental, social, and economic issue of our time, climate change. And it's why I'll continue to be an advocate for those who have too often been left out, overlooked, forgotten, or left behind. Because in the halls of the legislature, they have too few voices, too few people willing to stand up and speak out on their behalf. It's easy. It's easy for the Chevrons and the Monsantos, for the big corporate interests, to get their voice heard. It's a lot more difficult for those who can't write the big checks. But they need and deserve even more the voices of those who are lucky enough to occupy public office. And we need to be in public office the people who are willing to step up and step out. It's why I was part of Every Person is a Sikh Day when we had that at the Capitol in the wake of the shootings here in Elk Grove, and why still prominently displayed in my office is the turban that I wore that day, so that every visitor to my office can see and think about for a moment what it means for someone who practices a different religion or looks a little different or has a little bit different history or culture or tradition. They are Americans too, and they deserve full and equal opportunity inclusion in our community. And it's why I am so proud. It's why I am so proud to represent you, to represent Sacramento in the State Assembly. Because you and all of the people who make up this community are dedicated and committed to those same principles. Thanks very much.
So we actually didn't have too many questions to get submitted. So if you have one, the box is here. So the first question is, if elected, what do you want to accomplish in the state senate?
Okay. By the way, you're getting all this, aren't you? Good.
All recorded.
Good. You know, I think the way I can answer that is the most direct is to say that what I have described to you in my opening statement is what I'm committed to continue to do in the state senate. We're very fortunate in this community, but we still have enormous challenges both here and across the breadth of our state. While our economy is recovering, there is much more to do. There are too many people looking for work. There are too many people underemployed. I was proud to stand up and speak out in support of raising the minimum wage this year, because we have too many people who are struggling to survive and get by on what they're getting. I'll continue to be a voice for protecting and preserving our environment, for making sure that our delta is not washed away with some giant tunnels. And I'll make sure that the voices that need to be heard and deserve to be heard in the halls of the Capitol will be heard.
Do you support universal health care?
I absolutely support universal health care and have in fact, I've worked on achieving universal health care for more than a decade. As a member of the Board of Supervisors, I served on the Executive Committee of the County Supervisors of California Association and led a health care task force that advocated for counties the principles of universal health care back in the days, but you may recall, some of you, that Don Perotta was the pro tem and we were discussing pay or play health insurance that long ago. I co-chaired our program to cover all kids with health insurance here in Sacramento County. All kids, documented, undocumented, green, blue, orange, any age, all kids. And I have consistently spoken out in support of single payer health care as the solution.
The perception is that Republicans support small business and Democrats are anti-small business. As Democratic legislator, what can you do to change that perception?
I think we can do an enormous amount. First of all, we do it by what we do, not just what we say. And that's why throughout my time as a county supervisor in particular, I worked with the small businesses of the community. We had something called the Small Business Roundtable. And I worked with that to help those businesses face the permitting and regulatory issues that confine them and constrain them and solve those problems, working with both the City of Sacramento and the County of Sacramento staff. It's why I carried legislation on the floor a couple of years ago to reduce the regulatory burden on businesses throughout the state. It's why I have championed as a county supervisor small and emerging business programs and minority and women-owned business programs in our county to make sure that small business had a chance to get those contracts that might be the jumping off point for them to not just survive, but to succeed and prosper. So I know a little bit about helping small business, but I think as Democrats, it's like every other issue where someone tries to label us. We can prove the naysayers wrong by what we do and what we accomplish.
Do you support immigration reform with a pathway to citizenship?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't come lately to this issue either. That might surprise you. Or maybe not. But as long ago as 15 years, I worked on immigration reform. And again, as a member of the National Association of Counties and the chair of the Human Services and Education Steering Committee, I helped develop the national platform for all counties across the United States on immigration, which embraced immigration reform comprehensively with a pathway to citizenship. It's why, and I was proud to get up and speak on the floor of the Assembly in support of the DREAM Act. And it's why I will continue to be an advocate on this issue, such as making sure that our clinics in Sacramento County remain open to all. For some of you who you may know, but others may not, that there was a push on the Board of Supervisors at one point to make sure only those who are documented could be admitted to our community health clinics. Don Natoli, Jimmy Yee, and I said no. And that's still the policy of Sacramento.
All right, so that gives us what we have left. There's about 12 minutes left. You don't have to use the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, that's all the questions we had up here. And, but yeah.
So are you doing Mr. Pan and then a close or what?
Actually, we're just having you close right now.
Close right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Done.
Well, again, thank you. Thank you for your time, your attention. This is, of course, to the candidates, a crucial race, but I hope it is to you as well, because it's not transitory. It's not two people who are the same. I am proudly a progressive Democrat. I voted to regulate health insurance rates. I voted to get rid of BPA and infant sippy cups. I voted in each and every instance to support the United Farm Workers. I voted to make sure that doctors can't overprescribe medicines when they're under investigation by the medical board. I'm not a member of the Mod Caucus, as it's called, in the Assembly. It makes a difference who represents you. But more than that, I hope you will consider a vision. A vision of what our future is here in Sacramento, in California, and beyond. You know, I have heard people say that the best days of California are behind us. That we could never achieve what we have realized by the hard work of those generations who created the California of today. That we were once the golden state, but no longer. And as I think about those generations that came across the plains and around the tip of South Africa, who survived wars and great depressions, I think about the sacrifice they made, the challenges they met, the state they created, the dreams they built that made us all proud to be Californians. And when I consider our generations, I see people who are no less capable, no less competent, no less devoted, passionate, or committed to building that same brighter future for our children and generations that follow us. And I have a vision of a California with a brighter future that even becomes a more global beacon to those who want to come here and be the innovators, the creators, the people who want to build a society of equality and equity, of hopes and dreams. I know we are up to it, just as the generations who came before us met their challenges. That's what excites me about serving in the state Senate. And that's what excites me about representing you. Thanks very much.
Assembly Member Roger Dickinson. Everybody. Finished under. Good start. Okay. So next up, we have Assembly Member Dr. Richard Pan.
People taking their time out today, this evening, to come here today to listen to both Mr. Dickinson and I talk about not just our campaigns, but really to talk about, sort of our experiences and what we've been doing. I'm a doctor. I came here, worked at UC Davis. Actually came to UC Davis because I wanted to come and really teach our future doctors how to work in communities. And, because my background, not only as a physician, but also in public health, is that I understand how important it is to reach out and to not just, as I told my residents, not just stay in the clinic and stay in the hospital, but actually to get out in the community. So if we want to really improve people's health, we have to get out into the community. And in fact, that's also what we also try to do in the state legislature. But as a physician, getting out in the community, of course, you can't just tell people, you can't tell students to go and do that. You got to show that yourself. And I'm proud to have been active in the community, served on the First Five Commission, still serve on the United Way Board, helped co-found and start a nonprofit that got 65,000 children health care coverage, helped put together a coalition to ensure that we get to help strengthen the safety net during a time when the county was cutting back on county clinics, that the state was in gridlock. And we knew that not only children who we worked, certainly had worked on through the other nonprofit, but all people needed access to health care. And what could we do to move things forward, especially at a time when certainly resources were short? And at that time, as I was practicing in my, you know, clinic and doing the community work that I was doing in the community, you know, people talked to me about public office. Now, I never actually thought about running for public office when I was growing up. It was actually, my family didn't think that was something that was really in the cards for someone who was a son of immigrants and who was, you know, for a minority. But now here, this community, this is a very inclusive community, one that seemed to be able to, that would embrace the idea. And so people talked to me about running, and I finally thought to myself, well, if I can't throw my hat in the ring, you know, how can I complain? So I'm proud to have carried the banner for the Democratic Party in Assembly District, what was then 5, before redistricting. This was a seat where basically it was been a Republican seat for 28 years. It was a seat that had a 2% Republican registration advantage, and in 2010, and unfortunately, the lead candidate was Mr. Andy Puno, who was the author of Proposition 8. Yes. And so certainly we were interested in giving him the soapbox in our Southern State Legislature to go and pass on his views there. And so I was proud to be the banner bearer for the Democratic Party. And we came together and we won that race. And the reason we were able to win the race is because we talked about how important it was that we need to get past the gridlock, the same kind of gridlock we're seeing in Washington right now, the gridlock we were seeing in the state of, in the California legislature. And we need to get past that gridlock, and we need to solve we need to address and solve problems, like I've done in my life as a pediatrician, bringing people together to solve problems, building coalitions. And that's, and so we were able to win that race because we had Democrats, of course, we had independents, we had Republicans voting for a candidate who wanted to work to solve problems. And I'm proud that in my short time in the legislature that I've been able to do that. I've worked hard to try to address many issues. For example, I'm proud to have authored a bill that has brought down, while we were still working with budget deficits, brought down $50 million for local fire departments to help alleviate local budgets and ensure that we people have access to ambulance transport. Right. In order to be sure we protect the public, I authored a bill to ensure that expired medications and as well as expired baby formula could not be sold on store shelves. A bill that actually had been another author had been vetoed before, but we worked hard to be sure that would happen. So we want to be sure we protect not only our infants, but also our seniors as well, so that they didn't have to keep checking the expiration date. You know, and I worked hard to be sure that we protected, that we added severe combined immunodeficiency syndrome, something known as bubble boy disease, to the newborn screen, because that was, again, we be applying good science and public health. That was something that we should do, and actually would save the state money. In fact, had to argue with the finance people about the fact that they went, well, you know, this is going to cost us a lot of money to do all these tests. I said, well, look at all the money you save by preventing the disease. Of course, my most important goal was making sure we save those lives. So, but we were able to save lives and save the state money. And so think of these smart solutions moving forward. Now, in my current term, I'm happy to now represent Elk Grove in Assembly District 9 after redistricting, and also serve as chair of the health committee. And so certainly as chair of the health committee, I've been very active leading the charge in the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. And we've been fighting to be sure that the Affordable Care Act that is being rolled out successfully here in California. So as much as I want to turn off the evening news so people don't get confused about what's going on in some other states, we've been very successful in doing that. And some of the things that we want to be sure, so I authored the bill that ensured that the insurance protections that were in the Affordable Care Act were going to be applied to California and put in the state law so it's enforceable, so that people with pre-existing conditions are going to get access to health care. We're going to be sure that people don't have their insurance run out on them when they get sick by eliminating lifetime caps. We're going to ensure we want to be sure that people have essential, that they have comprehensive coverage for health care. And certainly, so those are some of the very important things we put in the state law. And also proud of the fact that the Affordable Care Act also helps seniors by closing that Medicare donut hole. And then 2014 to try to be sure of increased access to medications. Now, it's not just about the bills that we do and the legislature that I think is an important role of a legislator. Certainly, if that was the only thing being a legislator is about, I think that's less not enough. And so I'm proud about the work that I've done in the community, continuing what I did before I was ever in elected office, continuing as an elected official. And I still practice as a pediatrician, so I still, sure, I interact with families on that very personal basis. But I'm proud of the work that we've been doing in the community, and particularly here in Elk Grove. I'm proud that here in Elk Grove, that I serve on the board of Serve Elk Grove to help promote volunteerism here in this great community. I'm proud. My kids probably know Elk Grove Regional Park better than any other park in this whole area because all the wonderful events that have been held there that I've been able to attend. The Multicultural Festival is an outstanding example of what Elk Grove has been able to do, as well as the other exciting events. I love that pumpkin race across the lake. That was great. Elk Grove is an amazing community, and I'm proud to represent it. You know, I think when I first came to this area, I know that Elk Grove was actually trying to get cityhood. I know there were some people who were kind of skeptical about, you know, Elk Grove becoming an independent city. And I think you here in Elk Grove have proved those skeptics wrong. I think, you know, certainly your desire for self-determination to be able to move forward is something that you have shown how important that is in what has happened since you become a city. And people and leaders, I see Jim Cooper here, who I know is one of the original city council members here, have worked hard to really build a strong community here in Elk Grove. And I can see that as your representative in the State Assembly. You know, one thing, and I've been excited to also work with local businesses here in Elk Grove. And I know that to partner with your city council and your school board, and to think about how do we strengthen, you know, the economy here, and what are some of the things. So, for example, I've been working with people trying to start a new medical school here in Elk Grove, which I think is going to be a huge economic boom development for this community. And we've been working with some other folks to try to, the old mall. You know, what can we try to do to bring in, to replace the partially built mall, and other types of activities as well. I'm proud to have been, to partner on that as well. And so, and then of course, certainly partnering with the school district and the teachers and the classified employees to be sure that the students here in Elk Grove have an outstanding education. And I think, you know, certainly when I served on the First Five Commission, Elk Grove was already setting a standard for reaching out and doing preschool. And we were proud to, on the First Five Commission, and to fund programs in Elk Grove Unified School District to be sure to help out the students. But really also we got to see the unique leadership as well and ideas that were coming here in Elk Grove. So It's been very exciting for me to be able to represent this wonderful community and to be your partner and really to support the things that you want to do. Because I think one of the things that I see my role as legislator is that, yes, there are people we need to help speak for who can't speak for themselves. But more importantly, that we actually support people in speaking for themselves. Mm-hmm. That I don't need to be the person in front, but I need to help those who need to have their own voices heard. And that's something that I think. So I am running for the state senate. With term limits, there's work that I need to continue to do. We still have a lot of work to do in terms of getting health care and implementation of the Affordable Care Act. We still have a lot of work to do in our communities to help continue to build and strengthen our communities, to bring jobs, to help improve education. There's a lot of work to do that I still feel that I want to continue to be able to do and to continue to represent you. So I hope and ask for your support and your vote for my race for the state senate. You know, I think you have that there's a clear choice here, and I'm really excited about this opportunity to work with, continue to work with you going on to the future. So be happy to take questions.
So we're going to ask the same four questions that we asked to Hillary Dickinson. So the first one was, if elected, so kind of building off what you just said, what do you want to accomplish at the state senate?
So, well, as I was saying, what I want to accomplish in the state senate is, again, is actually strengthening our communities. We need to continue to work on our economy. There's still too many people who are unemployed. We need to reinvest in education and strengthen education. We've made a step with that with Prop 30. But there's still a lot of work to do there. We need to be sure we successfully get people access to health care. As my mother said, if you don't have health, you don't have anything. So we need to be sure that we're doing that with working on the Affordable Care Act. And again, I want to be sure we make our community stronger by working with all of you, working with the nonprofits and promote volunteerism and work with your leaders here to be sure that we continue to make this community stronger and better, and actually to support you in your efforts to do that, and certainly to be sure that state government is a partner with you, whether you're trying to grow a business or you're trying to get something, a nonprofit, or you're trying to be sure that we address immigration or many other issues. State should be a partner in that, and certainly as your representative at the state senator, want to work very hard to be sure that state is a good partner with the people of this community.
Do you support universal health care?
Yes, I support universal health care. And I'm very proud of my record in health care. When I, as a resident physician, while I was in training, I had the opportunity to work on a bill that was actually the forerunner to the state Children's Health and Children known as Healthy Families here, which was actually the largest expansion of health care coverage for children since Medicaid. And to work on that, which was, again, a tobacco tax to fund children's health care coverage. When I came here to Sacramento, there's already been work that was done to try to look at health, that we saw, again, there were children without health care. And certainly I, as a pediatrician in the clinic, was seeing that as well. And so I'm proud to have, again, worked to co-found an organization, Healthy Kids, Healthy Futures, to get 65,000 children health care coverage, to work with people to get kids enrolled in healthcare. I was on the United Way board. I chaired the Health Impact Council, which committed its resources to, again, enrolling children in healthcare coverage. And I know it's not just about kids that we need to get. We can't get kids. Kids aren't going to get enrolled into healthcare if their parents don't have healthcare. So I fought to be sure that we improved, again, access to care. I fought to be sure for the Affordable Care Act. Now, is it everything I want it to be? I would have preferred to have a public option. In fact, I actually serve as a delegate from the American Academy of Pediatrics to the American Medical Association. And unlike in the times of Medicare, when the AMA was opposed, you saw the president of the AMA with President Obama each step of the way for the Affordable Care Act. And part of the reason that happened was because I helped coordinate the fight at the AMA, because there were some people who were a little skeptical there, to be sure that the AMA was on the side of the president in passing the Affordable Care Act. And I'm proud of that. I'm also proud that when labor in California tried to do an employer mandate with SB2, actually CMA supported SB2, and I helped be sure CMA was there. And then when Prop 72 came back, I worked in partnership with the Central Labor Council to fight for Prop 72, which unfortunately missed by a very narrow margin. So I've been there in the front lines fighting for access to health care, and not only just fighting for it, showing results, getting kids health care coverage, getting more people health care coverage through the ACA. I am about getting results, and that's what I'm going to continue to do in health care.
The perception on the part of many is that Republicans are pro-business, Democrats are anti-business. What can Democratic legislators do to change that perception?
Well, first of all, I'm a small business owner. I know what it's like to run a small business. I know what it's like to actually pay for healthcare coverage as a small business owner for your employees. And I know what it's like to have to face the regulations and so forth as a small business owner. And you know, when I ran, in 2010, I ran about bringing people together, right? And how do we bring people together? And so that means that we need to bring business and labor together to solve problems, all right? We need to bring other, you know, we need to be sure people are working together. So it is about, you know, it's really, I actually think as a small business owner, and I was talking to, you know, Dean Murakami, everyone, I don't know, you know, he's a leader of the, in the community college system, leader of their union. You know, his wife runs a restaurant, and we were sitting and talking about, there's a lot of things that small business actually lines up with our democratic progressive values, and that we should be building bridges with small business. So I know that sometimes there's a perception, but when I'm going out there, and actually I've had many small business forums, and let me share with you one small business meetings I had small businesses. So I was sitting here with the small businesses, and I actually had someone from the chamber actually decided to come and sit there. And we were talking about building the middle class. You know, how do we strengthen the middle class? And these are all small business owners. And I made a remark, and I said, I don't want California to be the cheapest place to do business. And the chamber person immediately held up and said, but Dr. Pan, how can you say that? And all the business owners were sitting around looking at me. And I said, well, you know, the thing is that I don't want my kids to be the lowest paid workers in the whole country. For all the small business owners, and you don't want everyone in the community not to be low paid so they can't afford the goods and services that you are trying to sell to them. And they were all nodding. They were going, that's true. You know, we in California, we need to have the most productive workforce in the world. That's why we need to invest in education, our human capital. We need to invest in our infrastructure. But we need to strive to be the highest value state. That is really our goal, to be the highest value state. So therefore, we can have the highest paid workers because they're the most productive. And that's really the goal we should be striving for, not to be the cheapest state. We should be the highest value state. And that's how we're going to grow small business. That's how we're going to strengthen the middle class. And that's where California needs to go.
Do you support immigration reform with a pathway to citizenship?
Yes. And, you know, I'm a child of immigrants. My parents immigrated over to this country to look for opportunity for education as well. They came to get their graduate degrees and then to raise their family. Actually, my wife's also an immigrant as well. So, you know, and being an immigrant, you know, you work hard and you fight. And, you know, my parents, you know, part of the reason we didn't think about public office is that because they also had to face discrimination. You know, people thought they talked a little funny. You know, my mother still has a bit of an accent. I don't hear it for some reason, but everyone else does. And most of the time, you know, you think everything's okay, and then every once in a while something pops you on the head and makes you realize you're a little different. In my family's case, I was young then. My parents decided to go visit, go to Canada to go, you know, doing a trip. And we came back, and, you know, pretty middle-class family. Came back, you know, across the border, everything's okay, and then we, you know, a few miles in, we get pulled over. Now, I don't remember whether it was Border Patrol or I remember it was a car with flashing lights, right? So, and, you know, suddenly, like, oh, why are we being pulled over? And, you know, an officer comes out in uniform and says, I want to see your papers. My dad has to go out, and fortunately, he's well prepared and has them all in the back trunk, and, you know, everything's okay. But clearly, we were not quite the same as everyone else who was driving across the border that day. Lots of studies have shown immigrants, contribute to our economy. They bring more that their talent here. Their work hard. We and you know, businesses actually talk about how they have challenges because of that. And you know, we have a very dysfunctional immigration system. We need to fix that. We need to have a path to citizenship. And we have a lot of work to do there. I'm proud to have also supported and voted for Maine the bill, the DREAM Act bill, and others in the state legislature. We're going to do everything we can in this state to be sure that we help out and value what immigrants bring to our state. But we definitely need to continue to fight for immigration reform in our country and certainly in a path to citizenship.
So we have about 7.5 minutes left. Want to make your closing statement?
Well, you know, it's been a privilege to serve. You know, people have asked me, said, "Well, what do you think? What do you like better, being a doctor or being a assembly member?" And you know, I've always said, "You know, I grew up wanting to be a doctor." So I mean, that's really my dream. But but you know, part of what I wanted to do is also to figure out how can we impact. You know, things on a larger scale. You know, that's why I went into public health as well. How do we make a difference in our communities and people's lives? And so, you know, I feel very privileged and honored to have been elected to the state assembly, both in 2010 and in 2012, which you all did for my election to represent you. I think that there's a lot of work that we've done together that I would like to continue. And it would be an honor and privilege to be able to continue to do that. And so I hope I want to earn your vote and support for me to continue that work in the state Senate. Term limits, unfortunately, I can't stay in the state assembly to continue that work for an efficient time. But I'm going to be, you know, whatever happens in the election, you know, I'm dedicated to improving the community. I think I've proven that before I got elected office. But certainly being your state senator would give me the opportunity to do that, I think, in many effective ways. And certainly being being your champion for this area would be truly an honor for me. And also, I think, you know, I think I also bring a sort of a different set of talents as well to the legislature that would be helpful to the legislature and to the Democratic caucus. I'm the first physician ever to be elected to the Democratic caucus. It's sort of disappointing that, like, you know, we haven't had more Democratic physicians, but I am the first. I would be the first, person from the API community to be the state senator for Sacramento County. But I think more importantly, I think I hope that the work that I've done and the work that I intend to do is something that is going to help improve this community and help this community continue to move forward. And again, I humbly ask for your support and your vote. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Fellow member Richard Pan.